If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, along with the heavy metal rebel, Frankie Kazarian, and the Violent Delight, Scorpio Sky.
Collectively known as SoCal Uncensored, or SCU.
And this is the worst podcast I've ever been on. That's Casio's cut, y'all.
Hey, if you can't get enough Casio, check him out at his real job. Yeah, the one that actually pays the bills. Listen to the Jimbo and Casio Morning Show live 6 to 10 a.m. Central on TheRocket951.com.
81% of people in relationships say it really impresses them when their partner cooks for them. So they figured out the 10 most romantic home-cooked meal. Soup.
No. There's nothing romantic about soup. Can you imagine? So, how's your day? You know, there's nothing romantic about that whatsoever. Soup and burgers, those are just practical.
How's that vegetable soup? Tastes like a bunch of vegetables.
And some salt. And maybe some chicken broth. Or did you use tomato juice? This is fabulous. I love you. You know, there's just nothing... It's just not the most romantic meal you could ever have.
Shout out to everybody listening to this on the promo today.
Listen live online or download the Rocket app for your tablet or smartphone. Just search WRTT Rocket 95.1 in the Apple or Google Play Store.
What's up, Candy Lickers? Pleased to meet you. Nice to know me. What you doing? You're listening to another edition of Casio's Cut.
Hey, kid, look at me. Let's burn down the school with gasoline. Say, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Say, white trash.
White trash.
Hey, kid, it's party time. Kicking out the jams like the MC5.
Candy Lickers, hope you are washing your hands and you are corona-free. Way to be here in 2020. Appreciate you tuning in. If you are new, appreciate you joining us. It's going to be a weird ride. Enjoy it. We are joined by my good buddy, comedian, and now operations manager at Stand Up Live Comedy Club in Huntsville, Alabama, Mr. Tom Hand. We will talk to him in just a little bit. Of course, like a lot of small businesses, the staffs are hurting here during the quarantine time for Corona. And the staff down at Stand Up Live Huntsville has always been good to me. And I want to be good to them if I can. So we have Tom on. I know he can handle himself. He can be entertaining. He's a comedian. And also, we've got some ways. If you are in a position to help out, I know some of you that are listening, hey, it's tougher times than others for a lot of us. Some of you, you might still have your job rocking and rolling, might have a little bit of expendable income, and you want to give back and see how you can help out. Well, Stand Up Live Comedy Club is today's calls, and I would encourage you, if you do have anything, any little bit helps, it all goes to the staff there. We're going to give you some ways to do that. There's a link in the bio of this episode, wherever you're looking. It's on our social media, at Casio's Cut. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Casio's Cut. You'll see that link to how you can donate to straight to the staff at Stand Up Live Huntsville. You can Venmo them. Hey, it's 2020 Venmo. That is Stand Up Live - Hunts. H-U-N-T-S. Stand Up Live - Hunts. If you're on Venmo, you can just straight up donate it there. Or we also have a live show that's going out. And no matter where you're listening from, you can watch it live. If you are listening to this podcast the week it's released, you can watch the show Friday the 24th at 7 p.m. on YouTube and on Facebook, and we'll tell you about that show, and you can enjoy yourself And it's free to the public to watch. But if you feel like donating, it'll go to the clubs, either Stand Up Live Huntsville or Zanies Nashville. Both great comedy clubs. Both have taken care of me over the years. And so I want to help give back to them in any way I can. Now that we got the housekeeping away, let's bring in my good buddy, comedian and operations manager at Stand Up Live, Mr. Tom Hand. Tom, what's up, buddy?
How are you, sir?
Thanks for joining me, man. We are, ironically, within a couple miles of each other and still social distancing. Welcome to 2020.
Thanks for having me, sir. I appreciate it.
So first, before we get into the countdown real quick, like I mentioned before, Tom is the operations manager at Stand Up Live Huntsville. And just talk about, Tom, talk about how life has changed at the club specifically since all this has went down.
Well, the big change is obviously that we're not doing shows right now, that we're waiting to be safe. And then we're also in discussions about how safety will look and when an appropriate time would be to reopen. The biggest change really is that instead of focusing on our customers and trying to figure out what we're going to do advertising wise and all this like normal hoopla that we do for every week, right now we're primarily focused on our employees. We've been going in once a week and taking stock out of the freezer and cooking meals for the staff so that they get one free cooked meal by me or the general manager every week, just so they get something different in their diet, something that they didn't have to cook themselves. And all the PPP stuff, trying to make sure that we have funds for them. And that for the first week, it was, do you got toilet paper? We got toilet paper if you need toilet paper.
And now it's like, are you alive? Do you want cheese sticks? What can we get you the most?
You like wings? You want a burger?
Yeah, that's kind of the capsule of everybody basically in a small business. You go from thinking about your customers to now we don't have any customers, so how can we all survive this thing together as a staff, employees, employer? So I was lucky enough to get to see that, and I know you guys personally. So, and everybody out there listening knows somebody that's if you don't know anybody that's affected by Corona, then you know somebody who is affected as job-wise. So, we want to get through this thing together, which is why there's a link in the bio for this podcast, wherever you're listening to it at, where you can GoFundMe for the staff, all that. Tom, you can explain it better than me, but all those funds at the GoFundMe or the Venmo is basically going all to the staff there at Stand Up Live Huntsville Comedy Club.
Every donation that comes in goes straight to the staff. We split it evenly amongst them. Management doesn't touch it. It doesn't get stepped on in any way, form, or fashion. It goes straight to the staff. We've also been doing live streams on our YouTube channels, okay, which you can find through our Facebook. And we do those to give people entertainment and to hopefully solicit some more donations for our staff, because most of our staff are servers and bartenders, and they work on a tip-based economy. So even their unemployment doesn't really cover what they normally would make, what their expenditures are. This gets split between them and the cooks and the cleaning staff and everybody else. But any little donation helps. A lot of servers don't have very good societal fringe benefits. Mm-hmm. So any couple dollars that somebody can throw out, we really, really appreciate. And
And the shows are streaming that they can watch. Like you said, you get a little entertainment, but you're at your home, you're social distancing, you're helping out, you're getting super entertained. These have been super fun shows. You've had comedy shows, you've had game shows. I know if you're listening to this the week it comes out, which is April 21st, you've got a big one this weekend with John Hamm involved talking about hockey.
Yeah, so this week we're doing Bumps, Bruises, and Bedtime Stories, and we have a special guest host, John Hamm. He used to work with some of the guys that are going to be on there. It's kind of hockey themed in that these are like they know each other through hockey. These are hockey broadcasters and players, and they're telling stories about they're telling stories that generally start with hockey. But honestly, even if you don't care about hockey, these are funny, engaging people telling real stories about a situation and a type of environment that most of us never get to experience.
I kind of know hockey, worked with, you know, the Huntsville Havoc here in Huntsville, but I think it's even cooler if you're not that big of a fan, cause you get a peek behind into these players and a world you literally have no idea about.
Yeah. Right. Like, look at all those hockey movies that they've made, going back to Paul Newman and stuff. And even if you don't care about hockey that much, these things are interesting. This kind of environment is interesting. And these guys have been doing it for a very long time. Plus, this week, even if you don't care about hockey, you get to stare at John Hamm.
Bumps, bruises, and bedtime stories. If you're listening to this the week it releases, that'll come out live stream Friday, April 24th, 2020 at 7 p.m. Central. And you can check it out online. You can go to Zany's Nashville, or you can go to Stand Up Live. It'll be on their YouTube channel. It'll be streaming live, and they can donate there. And if they, as I understand it, if they say, "Hey, I want to donate to the Huntsville area," it'll go to you at Stand Up Live Huntsville, correct?
Right. So the information that we're going to put out and the things that I sent you, those are donations just to Stand Up Live Huntsville.
Yeah, those links are just straight up, hey, I just got some money and I'm going to tip you.
Yeah, it's basically that. And there's ones for Zany's too. If someone's listening and they're a huge fan of Zany's, I know a lot of people, even before we were open, used to go up to Zany's all the time.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to say is that they are soliciting questions. So if you have questions for John Hamm or any of the guys on Bumps, Bruises, and Bedtime Stories, by all means, go on, ask your question, see if they'll answer it. When else are you going to get to talk to John Hamm?
Exactly. Plus, you get hockey great Stu Grimson, Jim McKenzie, and Kelly Chase, and probably some more special guests along the way. They're going to have fun, answer your questions, and, of course, it goes to a great cause, taking care of these servers and staff of the comedy clubs that have provided us with so much entertainment. Now we get to take care of them as well for Stand Up Live Huntsville. And like you heard Tom say, Zany's Nashville. So that'll be Friday, April 24th, 7 p.m. Central. It'll be a live stream, so check that out. And take care of the staffs as they are going through a tough time like all of us. So if you're in a position to help them out, help them out. Now, Tom, like I mentioned in the intro, you are a comedian as well, which is kind of how you got drawn into the comedy club life, I take it.
Yeah. So doing comedy shows around here, I had to learn how to run all the equipment. And that's how I started off. And then also I've run shows for a long time, like not just been on the shows, but mm-hmm. Booked people and figured out times and come up with themes and things like that. So the combination of experience producing and of running the equipment, that's what got my foot in the door at the comedy club. And then I just stayed. They couldn't get rid of me.
So yeah, I mean, you're hosting, you're MCing. I saw you doing, you know, the soundboard and everything, and then, of course, rewarded by all your hard work. Now, of course, operations manager at Stand Up Live Comedy Club Huntsville. So this should be fun since you are a fellow comic. As I run the countdown with you, 10 questions, 10 to 1. And, of course, all the questions kind of relating to the number it goes with. Are you ready, Tom Hand?
Oh, is there a way to be ready for this?
No, there's not. All right. Here we go. Thinking on your toes, number 10. Name something that's a perfect 10 in your life. Not many of those going around now as we are in Corona time, but what's something, a perfect 10 in Tom Hand's life?
I would say my anxiety is a perfect 10. I recently read a definition of anxiety, and I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely me. Yeah.
So, wait, so is that level 10, or do you think you have a good balance of anxiety? It's a perfect 10.
Oh, no, that's level 10. No, level there's 10. Nothing good about this.
It's a 10 out of a 10 on anxiety scale. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like.
All right.
I'll put it to you this way. I was up very late last night making sure that all my equipment was working. I triple checked it last night. I got up earlier than I needed to today so that I could again double check it before I came on. Like,
what gets you most anxious in life? What's something little that really sets Tom Hand off?
Everything. I've just learned how to like cope with it a little bit. I get anxious about every single thing. I think it, I honestly think that comedy is responsible for this.
Comedy made you anxious?
Yeah. When you're producing a show.
Oh yeah. If you're in charge of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, they're not here. And we got to start in 30 minutes. Like they are coming from 3 hours away and I haven't heard from them since 3 days ago. Like what's going on? Whose time can I add to? Can I get somebody down here in the next 10 minutes? What am I going to tell these people? These people came to see this person.
And then the comic usually just casually strolls in the back door and doesn't tell anybody he's there. And it's chaos.
Oh, at the comedy club, there's been three notable, examples of this. One was, when a very big name had to cancel last minute and there were 300 people in the building. Mm-hmm. And I had
what's
to go
last
on
minute,
stage.
Like day of or like night, like minutes before the show?
Minutes before the show.
Oh gosh.
There's 300 people in the building waiting for the show to happen. And then we get a call that, that they canceled for the whole entire weekend. So I have to get on stage in front of 300 people and go, "Hey everybody, I know you're here for happy fun times, but nothing is good in the entire world."
Oh, did you it pre-show? Like we didn't get into MC and feature. We just immediately announced headliners out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did people leave?
Oh yeah. Oh, left and were mad and were cursing at me and the box office people. And oh yeah. It's like, hey guys, we don't control what the comedian does.
Like, yeah.
I get why you're upset, but there's nothing I can do. There was that one. There was another comedian. He has the best story for being late to a show I've ever heard. He was 2 hours late, and the audience just sat there for 2 hours.
Did they run through the featured MC and then just went silent? Do you know what they do?
No. Because we knew he wasn't going to be there. So what we did was we offered them tickets to one of his other shows if they wanted to come back, or they could sit and wait. And I'll tell you, he was 2 hours late. But when he came in the building, he literally walked in, set his coat down, walked up on stage, and murdered.
Fire.
It was absolutely great.
Are you going to name drop on us, or do you think that one's I mean, that's a good story.
That Brett Ernst.
Brett Ernst. Great guy, yeah. Too. Very funny.
Oh, yeah. Very funny. And you can he's got a special called Principal's Office that I believe is free, which he tells a story about. If you go see him live, I think he still tells the story about why that's free, which is funny in itself. But so the story for why he was late was he gets on a plane around noon L.A. time, and he's got a show here at 7 p.m. He gets on the first plane. The plane takes off. It has to redirect and come back in and land in L.A. because, like, as soon as they get up to cruising altitude, there's something wrong with the plane. So they come back. They land. They get everybody off. It takes a couple hours. They get back on the plane. They take off. They're going. Everything's fine. He's got a flight from L.A. to Atlanta. They get halfway across the country, and some dude freaks out and punches another dude in the face. They have to divert to Houston and land so the guy can get arrested by marshals on the ground.
So he can get arrested. Like that. He won that. We get to land so he can get arrested.
Yeah. We don't want him to miss Disneyland of prison.
The Houston, that's federal stuff, too. That's going to be fun.
Right? So now he's in Houston. There's no direct flight from Houston to Atlanta until like 8 p.m. that night. He has to go to he's got to find like connecting flights and stuff. I think he ended up going from Houston to Chicago, from Chicago to Atlanta, Atlanta to Huntsville. And when he landed in Chicago, he was landing as his connecting flight took off. So, yeah, he was 2 hours late. We told everybody who was waiting on him, as soon as we knew he was going to be late, which was probably 30 minutes before, 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour before showtime. You know how that is with someone's in the air and you don't know if they're going right. You know, and we couldn't get, because he's traveling and going through airports and stuff, so you don't have your phone on you like you normally would. So we're not sure if he's in the air from Atlanta or in the air from Chicago to Atlanta, or if he's in the airports or where he's at. We've got somebody at the airport. We're trying to call him. Yeah. So as soon as we knew for a fact that it was going to be delayed significantly, but he was still going to be there, I went out to every single person, went up to every single table and was like, first thing, let me say, I apologize for what's happening. Here's some free tickets to an upcoming show. Because of plane delays.
Oh gosh. And by the way, nobody ever believes plane delays.
I know.
I don't know why they get mad, but if it's, hey, his car broke down, they're still mad.
Oh, I see the comments that people leave online. I'm the one who has to respond to them, and we get blamed for stuff that it's like, how do you think? Exactly what people go, we had to wait outside and it was raining. It's like, yeah, and 200 people were already inside because they got there 2 hours early so they wouldn't have to stand outside in the rain because it's been raining all day. And we can't get the guy off stage for the show before you. Oh. Like it sucks to have to wait in the rain, but he's going to give you a really good show, and he's going to give you the same 2.5 hour show that he's given to the audience in front of you.
I've did that one time. I've literally pulled up to y'all's club before, and it was raining, waiting on the second show, and I was just like, I will sit in the rafters, but I'm just going to stay in the car. I mean, yeah. If it bothers you that much, just stay in the car, and then we'll get you in before the show.
Yeah, for sure. We don't start the show until everyone's in and seated, but we can't. There are certain comedians, and these I won't name drop, who especially on their on their last show of the weekend, late on Saturday or Sunday night, will get very drunk and stay on stage for 3.5 hours, drunkenly rambling through stuff.
The reason you don't name drop those is we don't have enough time. That's a bunch of them. That's a bunch of them.
Unfortunately, some that you'd suspect and some that you really wouldn't, but we get in trouble for that from the audience. And it's like, guys, I don't have that big hook from the side of the stage that I can pull them right off. That's not a thing we do.
No eggs, no vegetables, no hooks. We just gotta let him finish.
Yeah. On the good side of things, like when there are delays, like with Brett, we do have a full kitchen, so people could eat. We have a full bar, we have hand juice, we do all of our own fruit juices. We make a bunch of stuff in the kitchen from scratch. So we've got, instead of being at a normal comedy club where all you've got is bottled beer and fried cheese sticks.
Now this is this is a full blown nice restaurant. If there wasn't any comedy going on, it'd be just a great, you know, it's a great restaurant and full bar. So like you said, it's even without the entertainment, it's a great place to go. So at least you got that to fall back on.
Yeah, yeah. At least you got nachos to eat while you're waiting. Like, and good nachos that we make from. I mean, we don't make the tortilla chips from scratch, but everything else.
All right, number 9 in Tom Hand's world. Name some, 9 is of course German for no. So name something you've given up, something that's no more in 2020. Don't say social life because we've all given that up apparently for 2020.
I am actively trying to give up procrastinating as much as I used to do.
Okay.
I think I've done a good job on it. Now it's probably because of the lack of social life as much as anything. Like,
I'm nothing to procrastinate on.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I could go to the bar or I could do this productive thing. Oh, yeah, there's no bars right now.
There's nowhere to go. All right, so we're giving up procrastination.
Procrastinating. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so like I have written, filmed, and started editing on a series idea that I have for YouTube. I've written some scripts for sketches and other things, outlined a couple of other writing projects that I have coming up. Like I feel bad a lot of times because I'm not working like 16 hours a day. I'm not constantly doing something, but I have to remind myself when I start feeling bad about it, like, no, I've done stuff. Like, I am getting things done. It's okay to take a day and go, today's going to be my play video games and watch Netflix day. It's okay to do that. In fact, you have to do that if your level of creativity and production is going to be worth anything. You have to have that.
I just overdo it. Every day is video games and Netflix for me. That's my problem. number eight. What's the last thing you ate?
The last thing I ate was, so this series I did for YouTube is a cooking show.
Okay.
And we made dirty rice, and I ate the last of my dirty rice.
Like leftovers this morning?
Yeah.
Strong.
Oh, I love dirty rice. I love leftovers. My favorite thing to do with leftovers is to put a lot of hot sauce. Louisiana hot sauce is fantastic for this. Just dump a bunch of it on there. You get the flavor that you remember from the night before, and then you also get that wonderful like heat and punishment for being a bad boy.
I could hear your tone change in the middle of that, how you were getting excited and loving talking about it, and then it ended perfectly to match your tone. You were talking sexy to it. I like it. All right, number seven. At 7 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Okay, so they asked us this. They said, name three things you want to do when you grow up. And I said, I wanted to be an astronaut, a veterinarian, or a stand-up comedian.
There you go.
When I was 15 years old, I was too tall for even the Russian spacesuits.
Yeah, you're big. How tall are you?
I'm 6'7".
Yeah, you're a big dude. You don't know. They don't make spacesuits that are capri pants. That's what they would look like on you.
Yeah, that. Yeah, and I kind of like to keep my ankles and feet, sort of. So I was too big to be an astronaut by the time I was like 15. And when I was 14, my sister, no, I was 16 because I drove it there myself. My sister's had a rabbit and there was something wrong with its neck. And I took it to the vet, and the vet had one of those like tinted back doors that looked on the whole big area in the back. And it was heavily tinted, and like a curious idiot 16-year-old, I put my hand up to the tent and looked in the back after they had taken the rabbit in the back and saw them pull a botfly larva out of the neck of this rabbit. And that botfly larva looked like it was like 6 feet long. Of course it wasn't. It was probably still like 6 inches or something. But I saw that, thought about all the poop that you have to deal with as a veterinarian, and I went, nah, that's not really for me.
You saw what a veterinarian had to do on a daily basis and decided, no, I was lying to y'all. I don't want to be a vet.
Yeah, I wanted to do it when it was petting dogs and dogs and cats. Like, oh, I get to play with animals all day?
Right.
Perfect. Sign me up. What do you mean I got to do
it? You realized then you were an animal lover, not a doctor.
Yeah. So that was out. And so then I pursued everything else except for stand-up comedy until I was nearly 30. And finally I bit the bullet and I've been doing it ever since.
All right, six. When's the last time you stayed up until 6 a.m. at least?
Last night.
You were up till 6?
Yeah. When I say that my anxiety is really bad, I had to make sure I ate.
What time was the dirty rice?
The Dirty Rice was 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Okay, so that was in the afternoon.
No, 4:30, 5 o'clock this
morning. Oh, it was when you ate the leftovers.
Yeah.
No, but when did you start cooking doing all that part? Like at just normal dinner hour?
No, we had our pre-production meeting at 1, and we were finished with all the cooking and everything by 7:30. Because we did Dirty Rice and stuffed bell peppers.
Okay, did you do, so 7:30 until you ate leftovers at 5:30. Are we video gaming? Are we Netflixing?
So some of it, like I said, some of it was setting up my equipment, adjusting everything, making sure that I had reduced traffic noise and echo as much as I possibly can, finding the windscreen for my microphone.
Oh, jeez.
Going through the settings, checking. I had to pull up 3 different programs because I didn't trust any particular program's playback of the microphone. Because I used to do a podcast for a long time, and we always had trouble with this stuff. So I was like, no, I'm going to make sure my settings are right.
Well, I'll give you credit. You've got it dialed in. It sounds great.
Oh, thank you. I actually know exactly where my chin and nose should be in comparison to my mic.
I'm way off mic right now. I'm awful right now, and you're all paying attention. All right, so it wasn't even a party. You just were stayed up for anxiety.
Yeah, that's generally what it is. Because it's also because I can't, I've got alcohol here.
I was about
to
say, did you drink it all to help?
I didn't. And that's the thing is, I knew at 2 o'clock, I was like, I could start drinking right now, but I'll definitely be up till 3:30, 4 o'clock if I start drinking right now to get drunk enough to go to sleep. And then I may still be drunk while we're talking tomorrow.
Do you think you would be the first person drunk on this show?
Oh, no. In fact, when I got up, because I didn't drink last night, and this was eventually the deal I had to make with myself. I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink so that I'm not hungover and stupid tomorrow. But if I don't drink tonight, as soon as I wake up and brush my teeth and have my first cup of coffee, I can start drinking whiskey.
Okay. All right. What whiskey did you drink?
I've got a bottle of Wild Turkey that I'm polishing off.
Like a true Southern gentleman. All right, here we go. Five-finger discount. What's the last thing you stole?
Big Booty Judy's man's heart.
You did. I'm going to mark you down for that. I'll give you credit for that. Actually, you don't want to admit to anything you've stole.
It was probably your dog's heart, really.
You did. Hank loved it. I lost you to Hank last time I saw you.
Yeah, no, probably pins or something like that. I like the...
pins.
I like my dumb romantic answer better.
All right, number 4, Mount Rushmore of Little Debbie. So your top 4 Little Debbie cakes of all time. This one will get you some hate mail.
I know, and because I was thinking about this, and I was like, I'm not even sure if some of these are Little Debbie.
Oh, no.
I thought about looking it up, but I was like, no, I'm going to play it straight. I'm going to admit to not know. I'm going to admit to my ignorance and let it happen. And my anxiety was like, look it up, you fool. Look it up.
All right, so, what do we got?
Number 1.
I'll give you credit if it helps your anxiety. You don't have to put them in order. I just need 4, okay? I mean, you can if you want, but I like to tell everybody, I just need 4 to fill the spots.
Okay. Number 1, though, even without doing the rest of them in any sort of order, number 1, definitely oatmeal cream pies. Okay. I love oatmeal cream pie
cookies. OG. All right, nice.
Number 2, for the other 3, I'm going to go with the cupcakes.
Okay, the standard black cupcake with the white little thing on it?
Oh, yeah, and the filling inside. Perfect.
Those are called cream-filled chocolate cupcakes. That's exactly what Little Debbie calls them.
So I apparently like snacks that sound like they could be porno titles.
Okay. I don't want to know about oatmeal cream pie. That seems like some GILF stuff there.
I like a Swiss roll.
The Swiss cake roll. Okay.
Yeah.
So far, you're pretty good. You're not getting any hate mail yet.
So this is the one that I think is controversial. Mm. I used to get these at gas stations around here. They are Red Devil Twinkies. Instead of yellow sponge cake, okay. It's Red Devil cake.
Okay. So it's the red Twinkie, basically.
Yeah. And I loved those things.
Did Hostess get bought by, you might have a pass. Hostess might have got bought by Little Debbie.
I don't know that they were even Hostess. I think they were more off brand than that. Because
well, they got Bluebird. I remember the Bluebird had the red velvet ones.
Yeah, maybe
or
that
Mrs.
was
Freshley's.
It. Something, yeah, one of those two. It definitely wasn't one of the big two. But I didn't even look up like what companies got bought out. I was like, no, I like these so much that's going to be on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay, but they can't. It's not Little Debbie's.
Yeah, but
Fudge Rounds, donuts, honey bun, Nutty Buddy.
Look, a Fudge Round's okay. Honey bun's fine.
Zebra
cake. You know what? I will go back and I will say that if this was 20 years ago, I would have said honey buns because when they used to keep honey buns at Waffle House,
okay,
and they used to do that fried steamed honey bun.
You're in on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's throw honey bun in so you can stick with it. No zebra cake or Christmas tree cake or Star Crunch.
Nah, not really. None of those are bad. They're not mine.
All right, so you're going cream-filled chocolate cupcakes. You're going oatmeal cream pie, Swiss cake roll. Technically, your fourth favorite is a Twinkie, red velvet, or red devil's cake. But to keep it in the Little Debbie family, we're putting you down.
For a honey bun.
All right.
Yeah.
Number three albums on a deserted island. You only get three albums for the rest of your life.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Okay. Strong. Great album.
Dave Brubeck Quartet, Take Five.
Whoa. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, that's such an interesting and long... Take Five itself is such a good song. And... if you only got three albums for the rest of your life, you need some contrast in there.
You do need to switch it up.
So
I think one thing about that, when I ask this question with people, I think sometimes greatest hits albums are overlooked because we're used to saying our favorite albums, but I'm saying that's the only thing you got to listen to. So yeah. I definitely think variety is a good key in this.
Yeah, and I thought about that. There's some anthologies and stuff that I probably would like, but honestly, through the course of my life, that Blood Sugar Sex Magik album by Red Hot Chili Peppers has sat in CD players and car stereos for so long at any given stretch. And that's why I know my third one would be NoFX. And this is where it gets hard, is which album by NoFX. I think today...
Punk and Drublic.
On today, I'm going to go Heavy with Petting So Long Zoo. And Thanks for All the Shoes.
Okay. So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes. 97. 1997 was that jam.
Yeah.
So I didn't see NoFX. I should have known you were a punk guy, though.
Yeah. I don't look it, and I've never like repped it really hard, but I love punk rock.
All right, so we're giving you NoFX, So Long and Thanks for the Shoes. Thanks for All the Shoes. We're going Dave Brubeck, Take Five.
Yep, Take Five.
And we're going Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Thanks for not like drilling down on which recording of Take Five. We're just gonna go.
What, is there multiple ones?
Oh, my God, yes. There are so many. And
is that his
basically...
jam? Is it one of those that I will hear and recognize, or is it the deep cut?
Yeah, no, that is definitely... If you're going to hear some jazz stuff like that, that's... I think pieces of it have been in movies and things like that. That is definitely not a deep cut at all.
Okay. It's in the Grammy Hall of Fame. I'm looking it up. How about this? It's the biggest selling jazz single ever, or was at the time for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah,
that's
makes
crazy.
Yeah, I love it. It like brings back it brings back my childhood because my dad listened to a bunch of jazz and stuff like that. But at the same time, that was not one of the ones that he listened to regularly. I definitely heard it when I was a kid. It was one of the first like jazz recordings that I found on my own.
How about here's a crazy one. He died in 1977. The original writer of the song who had the royalties to it.
Yeah.
And he left the rights to American Red Cross, who averages over $100,000 in royalties from that song.
Awesome. That's fantastic. That's
a killer move.
Yeah.
Everybody go download it and download to the donate to the Red Cross. That's strong.
Yeah.
Look at Tom Hand giving us all kind of deep cuts. All right, number two, if you're a wrestler, who would be your tag team partner, not your opponent? Who do you want on your team going in as a tag team?
Hunter S. Thompson.
Well, I thought you usually pick a wrestler. You went Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, I'm not a wrestler either, but
that's why I figured you would rely on a wrestler to help you out.
Yeah, I haven't really liked wrestling since I was in high school. Like, I understand why people, there's like this Baroque storytelling style that happens with wrestling. That's like, it's been around for so long because human beings are conditioned to understand and love that type of narrative, but it just doesn't hit me where I live.
Sure. But Hunter, do you think Hunter's going to be a good tag team partner?
So my thought on this was we might lose every match that we're in.
No, you will. Okay.
But on the other hand, I have to spend more time hanging out with my tag team partner than I have to in the ring.
So you just want to hang with Hunter.
Yeah. Plus, there's a good, like, there's a story hook for our, we would definitely be the accidental good guys. We would come out trying to be the bad guys.
Okay.
But we'd be fighting the system and drunk. Very, very drunk.
Very drunk. Okay. So not far from a lot of wrestlers back in the day.
Yeah.
Fear and loathing in wrestling is what's next. Your next story.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's our tag team name, right? Fear and loathing.
Oh, yes. And of course, with your anxiety, your fear.
Yeah.
And he's loathing. And
because he would loathe me.
He would loathe you. All right. So we got Hunter. Hunter Helmsley would have been a good one, but you went Hunter S. Thompson. All right. And first one, number one, being a comedian, who is your number one comedy idol? Hard to narrow down for some people, but give me somebody that's in the running at least.
All right. So you get this question all the time too, I'm sure. Well, yes. I think every comic gets asked this probably more than anything else.
Who's your idol? And who's your favorite comic? Who are you trying to be like? Yeah. The whole deal.
Yeah. So I get asked this so much, and I finally figured it out probably last year or the year before. My current comedy idol is whoever I'm currently watching at a live show. And I really do. I mean that. As long as someone's not bombing on stage, I'm pretty much in the audience watching them going, man, they're so good at this. I wish I could be that good. They're doing this so well, and they're doing this so well, and the way that worked together. If I'm not busy in the back of the club doing 100 different things, and I'm sitting there watching, I am idolizing whoever's on stage because they are where I want to be. They're doing what I want to do. And I have enough of the skill and experience to really appreciate the amount of work and artistry that's going into what's coming out of their performance.
It's definitely, if you've ever even attempted stand-up, you definitely watch stand-up comedy in a new light. Even if you've just tried it and didn't work out, do a couple open mics, you will watch it differently. And then the more experience you have, like you said, you start watching it even more differently.
Yeah.
you know, sometimes people go, man, they're like, you didn't laugh. And I'm like, I'll say that, oh, they were hilarious. And they're like, I didn't hear you laugh. And I'm like, oh, well, I was analyzing. You start analyzing what they're doing. Like you said, you're figuring out why they went there. I'll start going in my head. We'll go, I know how this joke's going to end. And usually it'll take, if it takes a left and end somewhere else, that's when I really die laughing. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, that was a good turn right there.
Yeah, when they surprise you. But there is an intellectual joy when you get to a certain level of it that you can really appreciate. Like, it's like why some people read classic books. It's not because that book is necessarily so good compared to modern books. There are some great modern stuff that could potentially stand up to some of the classics. But there's an intellectual joy of exploring that mindscape that has been put out by somebody. And when I'm at a live show, it doesn't happen so much when I'm watching stuff on Netflix, but I've noticed this is whoever I'm watching at a live show, that's my comedy idol. I walk away from that show and I think, man, how can I do it like they, how could I change how I do things and incorporate the mechanics and the particular ways that they're doing things to make an amalgamation of my current self, their current self, and become a better comic. So I idolize anybody who gets on that stage and does well. Even at open mics and stuff, when my friends are up there and they're doing something and they've got an audience, just they've got them by the teeth. Mm-hmm. And they're just hanging on every single word. I idolize my friends when I see that. I think it makes me good at producing shows because I can genuinely give like real compliments.
Strong. Tom Hamm, I agree with you, man. It's just being able to watch it, you appreciate it, all the hard work and passion that's going into it, and you know where they're coming from and what it took to get there. And I agree with you, man. Good call. Good answer. Good. It was a non-answer, but it was a good answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is really how I think about this stuff now. But I also like, I work comedy. Your comedy career experience is completely different than mine because I work at the club and I see so many different acts all the time. One, having this kind of mercenary mentality of, I had my guys that I looked up to and people who I admired and stuff like that. When I started, I still have some people that I try and be more like than others, but really I idolize these people. And that's one of the things that helps me work at the club. I think if I didn't view it this way, working at a club and not being on the stage all the time would kill me. I think it's terrible. And again, it's true. And it helps me when someone comes off stage and they ask, how did I do? I can legitimately look at them and go, that was fantastic. That was great. I really like how you did this thing or that thing or the other thing. And you know how it is. You have an idea in your head of what your set was like, but if someone says something more than just, hey, good setup there, you know, they paid attention.
Correct.
And sometimes just having one person give you one compliment where they actually paid attention to your set, that's all you need for another week of people staring at you, like in the words of Bill Hicks, a dog being shown a card trick.
That's great stuff. Yes, 100% agree. I'm all in on that. Tom Hamm, that's like you said, that's the passion of working at the club. You got passionate people there. And it's why I had you on today. It's why you've become the operations manager at Stand Up Live Huntsville. And it's why we are hoping to help you guys out for entertaining us. And we want to take care of you guys as well till we all get back to normal. And then we'll put you guys back on the spot and make you sing and dance and laugh and bring us food again and all enjoy it together. So the link for the GoFundMe to go directly to Stand Up Live is in the link to this episode. It's up on our social media as well. If you want to just shoot him a Venmo, it's at standuplive-hunts, Hunts, with a no veal on the end. Venmo is standuplive-hunts. Or, of course, you can go to the live streaming event, Bumps, Bruises, and Bedtime Stories. It's hosted by John Hamm with NHL alumni Stu Grimson, Jim McKenzie, Kelly Chase, and more. And if you're listening to it the week this episode drops, that'll be Friday, April 24th, 7 p.m. Central. You can watch it live on Facebook or YouTube. And the proceeds, you can tell them where it goes. It's either going to go to Zanies in Nashville or Stand Up Live in Huntsville, two great clubs in the South. And like you said, Tom, every little bit helps. If it's a dollar, if it's five, it's for the hundred. Doesn't matter. It's all going into the pot and all going to help everyone get through this thing together, man. Thanks for hooking up with me. All your anxiety paid off. Questions, answers were great. Sound was great. We rocked this thing, and hopefully we get some kind of funds getting down to the club, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much for what you do and everything that you're doing for us. And also, guys, if you can't donate anything, that's fine. Putting eyes on this puts it out there in a way. All the algorithms out there go off of how many people are watching. So if you don't have any money, but you have some time you can throw our way, throw your time at watching this thing. You're going to be super entertained. It's going to get out to more people. We appreciate any little help, whether it's time, money, or what Casio does.
Share it, like it, retweet it, the whole deal. That'll get it more spread out, and it'll hit somebody that is in a position to donate now as well. So, and like we said, it's free. You don't have to donate to watch the show. Just watch it, enjoy it, and donate if you can. Tom, appreciate it, brother, and look forward not only to seeing you again, but seeing you at the club doing your thing again, man. That means we're all getting closer back to normal.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
I'm Dave Silva with Save with Conrad.
Yeah, what's up, man?
I've been telling you for a long time that savewithconrad.com can save you money, but don't take my word for it.
Steven, what made you come to Save with Conrad?
To be honest, it was just listening to the podcast. A couple financial issues that I wanted to get out of, and, you know, some credit card debt, and I had some medical debt, and I basically just sent an email, and next thing you know, I got a call probably an hour later.
Was there anything specific that Conrad mentioned on the podcast that kind of triggered you to make that call?
Yeah, just consolidating debt. I mean, that was one of the things that I was really looking for, was to kind of not have, you know, payments all over the place and, you know, have an interest really put a damper on things.
What was your favorite part about working with the team?
I'd have to say, probably how fast they responded to things. You know, I was refinancing, so, you know, I had some worries about a couple things, and you know, he answered all my questions and just helped me feel more, more confident about the process, you know.
Now, how much money were we able to save you in this whole process?
I mean, I look at at least $50,000, at the very least.
If you could, would you recommend this to a friend or a family member?
I recommended it to my mom because she didn't believe that I was actually refinancing and, you know, was able to save that much money.
That's tremendous. That's wonderful to hear.
So what are you waiting for? Find out how much money you can save right now for free. You don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket. Even credit scores in the 500s can be approved. And if we can't save you money, we won't waste your time. But because we're licensed in more than 40 states, we can help more families than ever before. Find out how much money you can save right now for free at savewithconrad.com. Oh, and did I mention you could skip your next two house payments? Hurry to savewithconrad.com.
NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lenders. Woo!
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.